down. All right. Next to the last session of the entire conference. Actually, not bad. I was at lunch just a little while ago, and I was like, yeah, I don't know what to expect. You know, maybe there'll be five people there. Everybody looks like they're getting on the plane to go home. So pretty good. Not bad. You guys must be leaving tomorrow. All right. All right. Great. Well, welcome. My name is Scott Hillier. If I haven't had a chance to meet you already, let me just give you a couple of seconds on who I am. I'm a SharePoint MVP. I've been working in SharePoint exclusively since 2003. I'm an author of something like 15 books on Microsoft technologies. The last whole bunch of them have been on SharePoint for a long time. I do both project work and training. I spend about, at these days, maybe about 20% of my time in front of a classroom and about 80% of my time doing real work. So I like to believe that gives me a nice mix of being able to, you know, go horizontal like you might do in a classroom, but also go very deep into particular areas that I get into in my project work. And that's kind of what we're going to be doing today. So for the next hour and 15 minutes, we're going to talk about building search-driven applications, and we're going to be taking a look at some theoretical, if you will, things that I've built for you, particularly for this demo today. And also some project work I've been doing at the Ford Foundation. Do I have any Ford Foundation people in the room? Now, see, I'm going to have to tease them because they promised me they would be here since I'm presenting some of their stuff. But apparently they didn't make it to the next to the last session. Well, that's okay. We'll press on without them. So why don't we go ahead and get started here. This is the agenda we're going to follow. We're going to talk about search-driven applications. What the heck are they? We're going to talk a little bit about the SharePoint server search architecture just so that we have some common ground here and we understand what the pieces of the search architecture are so that when I'm talking about things, they make sense to you. Then we're going to talk about keyword query syntax. And if you never write a line of code after attending this session, one of the most valuable things that you can take away from this is a better understanding of keyword query syntax and how to ask the search engine for what you want. If you're tired of hearing your users say SharePoint search, well, isn't good in maybe more colorful fashions, it's quite possible that they don't really understand how to ask for what it is that they want, right? So we're going to go over that a little bit. Then we're going to talk in some detail about customizing the query pipeline. Specifically, how do I get into the query pipeline before the query is run, and how can I get into the query pipeline after the query is run? And this is really where all the magic happens, where all the really cool stuff happens, my favorite part of this session. And then we'll talk a little bit about just some finishing touches here on customizing Search Center, specifically how to change the way the search results appear when they come back. Okay, so first let's talk about search-driven applications. What is a search-driven application? When I use that term, what am I talking about? Well, a search-driven application is an application, of course, that's based on search. But what does that mean? It means that you're engaging in queries, but that when you get the results, they should come back to you in a specific context, and they should appear to you in a manner that allows you to work on them in that context. So that's a lot of words. What does it really mean in practical terms? Well, if you were, you know, doing a search in Bing, for example, and you were looking for screencasts for videos, you'd want to be able to go there, you'd want to be able to type some words in, and you would expect the results to come back to you, as we see in this upper left-hand corner, as videos that you could watch directly in the search results. Right? That just makes sense. Increasingly, you see this more and more. I mean, the simple example is you do an image search, and you expect images to come back that you can look at, right? That type of thing. Same is true with mapping, right? If I do a search for a location, I expect a map to come back. I should be able to get directions. We're experiencing this kind of thing all the time. This is becoming the norm, these search-driven applications. But we really don't do a good job of having our SharePoint interface, you know, the place that we expect all of our knowledge workers to go first thing in the morning, last place they leave at night. We don't do a good job of presenting the information inside of SharePoint to our knowledge workers in a way that has context and allows them to work on what they find in the search results directly there in the same way that we kind of expect to do it in other apps like image searches or videos. And we see a couple of other examples up here too. In the middle is a screenshot of Fast and doing a search against documents. And you can see that when you get PowerPoint back, you can get a preview of the documents, right? So that's an in-context thing. I'm looking for a PowerPoint deck. Let me see the slides. So that's the kind of thing that we're talking about when we're talking about constructing search-driven applications. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into a little bit of a demo here and see what it is that I'm talking about. Okay, I left this up for myself because I always forget to say this. That's my email right there. If you have any follow-up questions for me, scott@scotthillier.net, one T in Scott. And then all the samples that we're doing today can be found at hillier.codeplex.com. I use that project site on Codeplex to upload all the samples from the talks that I do. Okay, so what I'm about to show you then is an example of a search-driven application inside of SharePoint. And I want to give you a little bit of background on this. I've been doing work in search for quite some time now, and I was doing a presentation sort of like this a while ago, and I challenged myself on stage, and I said, you know what? You can have a SharePoint interface that doesn't have any navigation at all. And I said, you could do all that with search, and it would be better than anything that you have now. Now, why was I talking about that? Because we get several problems, no matter what you're doing with SharePoint, that we all have to solve. One of them is cross-site collection navigation. So we all know, right, that when you bring up a SharePoint site, as you add subsites to it, it politely builds, you know, a little navigation system for you on the right. It shows you the listen libraries on the left. But it doesn't do anything for you if you have multiple site collections in your farm, right? Of which any kind of serious SharePoint farm does. There's no mechanism that shows you the different site collections and allows you to navigate between them. Lots of organizations have learned lots of different solutions to that, most of them not that great. Okay? And in fact, this sort of gets me started on one of my favorite rants, which is, you know, generically the tree view control, but also the way that people do navigation inside of websites. So you know what I'm talking about. You go to any website, and you see all these things across the top, and then you click on one, and a little flyout drops down, right? And then you pick on something else, and another flyout drops down. And then you do it again, and another drops down. And then your mouse slips, and it goes whoop all the way back up the top. Go up, and you start again, right? So what drives this kind of UI as a way to navigate a site? I mean, who decided that was a great idea? It's basically a tree view control, right? And, you know, how many developers I got in here? Developers? The rest IT guys? Okay, so the developers, you know, this is a warm, safe place. We can kind of make fun of each other. The IT people will enjoy that we make fun of each other. But one of the problems that we have is this obsession with showing everything, everything. We always have to show everything. And we love the tree view control because it's the only control that shows everything. And it does outline view, which is the way our brain thinks, right? We understand the entire world as an outline. Right, so, you know, solar systems have planets all the way down to atoms have electrons. That's the way we think. Okay, but the problem is the end user doesn't need to see everything. They only need to see the stuff that they care about. So that's one thing that drove what I'm about to show you. The second is this classic problem we have in SharePoint where you can have tasks or other things throughout SharePoint that are assigned or of interest to you that nobody ever tells you about. So everybody figures out right away when they get SharePoint, hey, somebody can assign me a task anywhere in a SharePoint site, and how do I know what all the tasks are that I need to find? Okay, so these are the two problems that drove me to solve this. And so now I'm going to sort of show you what I was working on. So what you're going to see here is you're going to see a solution here that we did for Ford Foundation. Actually, I borrowed sort of the shell of it for this. And I've added some additional things that we didn't do for Ford that we'll like to talk about. But what this is going to show you is it's going to show you how you can have a SharePoint navigation system that only shows people the things that they want and a search-driven interface that allows people to find the things that they want inside of SharePoint without having to wade through all kinds of stuff. So let's take a look at what we've got here. So first of all, you can see that we've completely replaced the top navigation stuff. So instead of building something left to right that lists all of the sites on here, we have these three blocks. We have this My Ford block, My Resources block, and the My Workspaces block here. So the My Ford and the My Resources represent one solution to cross-site navigation. This same navigation that you see here is present in every site collection in the farm. So the one way that we did this, which is just an interesting side note and topic for another session, is that we used an external list in business connectivity services to maintain the links that are on the cross-site collection, one piece of the cross-site collection here. And that external list is, of course, accessible from any site collection. So we're driving the key links that we want to present to people on these resources and main navigation area here just off of a set of links from an external list, right? So again, that's topic for another day. But then we have this thing over here, which is My Workspaces. This is something we want to talk about. My Workspaces presents to me these links. You can see I have one to operations and one to information technology. Now, it's presenting me links to these sites because it thinks those are sites I really care about. Why does it think those are sites I really care about? Because above it, you can see my profile information. What office am I in? What unit am I in? What division am I in? And this is being driven by the user profile service. So we look at the user profile service to understand the person that's navigating the system. And then what we've done, and I'll show you this before we're finished, is we've given properties to all of the sites, like what division does this belong to? You know, other things that help you understand the characteristics of that site. And we use rules to say, based on your properties and the properties of the site, these are probably things you care about. And we run a search query to retrieve those, and we populate this navigation that you see here based on those rules. So we're attempting to present to you the sites that we think that you really care about. All right? So that's one thing we're going to look at. The next thing that we're going to look at is that ability to get information within SharePoint and aggregate it up to a single place. So we have four things that we care about looking at. Assignments, those are tasks that are assigned to you in SharePoint anywhere in the farm. Events, those are calendar events that you might care about anywhere in the farm. Teams, these are team sites, so these also go to sites you might be interested in, right? Because your natural question is going to be, well, Scott, what if they want to look at something that's not shown there based on your rule set? Well, we're going to give you ways to get to that, and this is one of them, My Teams. And then finally, documents you might care about in My Library. Let's take a look. So if I go to My Assignments right here, you can see that what I've got is what looks like a standard, pretty standard looking kind of SharePoint list that we have displayed here with the assignment, the due date, the priority, and the status. And if I hover over any of these that are assigned to me right here, I could click on them and go to the detail page, much like any list item that you would look at. However, what you're actually looking at are search results. These are search results. So what we did was we went out to the search engine and we said, show me all the tasks for the current user. And then on this page, you also have what we like to refer to as quick searches. So underneath My Assignments, I could come down here and say, show me all assignments, which is pretty much what we're showing. Show me any overdue assignments. Oh, I have one, create a training plan, which is apparently due in 2011, so that's a problem. And then I can say, show me anything that's due today. Well, there's nothing due today. So I would say to you that this is exactly the way somebody wants to work with their tasks, right? I want to see them in a single place. That's a very, very common request. And I want to be able to work with them in context, so I can come right in here and I can click on one of these guys and I can immediately begin working on editing that, right? So here I am working with that list item right from here. Now the normal way that this gets solved, I say normal, the common way that this gets solved is that we give this to, you know, one of the people on our SharePoint team, right? So somebody just went to Scott's training and they go, oh, I know how this works. What I can do if I'm going to find all your tasks for you is I can loop through all of the sites in the farm, and I can loop through all the lists in the farm and find all the task lists, and then I'll loop through all the lists, all the items in the list and find out if they're assigned to you, and I'll build them up using code, right? And then I'll show them to you. And so what we do is we go, that's pretty easy, you know, our junior developer just went to Scott's training, he'll be able to do that, let him do it, right? So the junior developer creates a web part that does exactly that and goes, works awesome on my machine, right? Let's deploy it. So now what happens is you take that web part, and because it's so popular, you put it on the home page of your portal, where it is promptly hit by thousands of people a day, right? And then it runs that same looking through all the sites, looking through all the lists, looking through all the list items for everybody that hits it. And the next thing you hear is, why is SharePoint so slow? And the answer is because you've asked it to look through every site, every list, and every list item every time somebody comes to the home page. I try to tell people that You know, what I'm showing here is not something that I want you to think about as being novel. This is a real core workhorse inside of SharePoint. The only thing in SharePoint that knows where all the bodies are buried is search. And if you ask it the right question, it will show you everything that's there. And you don't have to do all this looping code that we traditionally do. And you can create this often requested, this highly requested interface, show me everything in SharePoint that's assigned to me. But wait, we can go even further. We'll come into the My Resources here using our navigation system that's available wherever you are. And I'll say, well, what about events? And I click on My Events, and now it brings to me a list here that shows me all of the events that I might care about. I can come in here and say, well, what's happening today? Apparently, step-by-step building search-driven applications that matter, and an attendee party later. Good. I can say what's happening this week, and it shows me the weekly events. I can say what's happening this month, right? So here's things that are happening this month in June. And finally, what's upcoming from here on out, and only these two are, all right? These are also search results that are coming back. But you can see now that I've structured the search results in a way that makes sense. Just like looking for videos or images, if I'm doing calendar searches, then I want to be able to collapse these into dates like this. And I want them sorted, you know, in some meaningful fashion so I can go through it and see what my calendar looks like. Well, the same thing is true for Teams that I'm on. So let's click on Teams. And here we have a search page that is returning to us sites and site collections to which I belong that I might care about. So I have quick searches up here that show me all the portals and Teams sites. So we're calling portals the site collections. I can say just show me the portals, the site collections, or just show me Teams sites that I have access to. And because it's search, of course, I can come in here and I can use the refiners that go along with search to refine my query as well. And then just like any good search-driven application, I can operate on them right here by going to any of the sites that I care about. So if you don't get, you know, if we don't hit exactly what you're looking for under the My Workspaces, which I think is Operations and Information Technology, then you can come into My Teams and you can say, well, I want to do a specific search. I want to know where that operations site is and do a specific search. And sure enough, there it comes back. So now you can begin to find sites that you care about that maybe go outside the rule set that we've used to initially show you what's there. And then finally, we can go to My Library, and My Library is designed to find documents that you've authored. We have quick searches for Word documents that you've authored, so there's a bunch of Word documents. Again, I can come over here and refine those. Okay, I can look at Excel spreadsheets I care about, so here's some Excel spreadsheets, right? And finally, PowerPoint presentations right there, okay? So when you think about this, right, I want to back you up and just point out that we've completely done away with the standard navigation inside of here. And what we've done is we've given a highly personalized view of SharePoint. I mean, when you stop and you think about it, right, if you think about this concept of seeing everything and you look at the way most websites are laid out with the way the tree view works in navigation, there's always, you know, a certain set of things at the top or a certain set of things that always appear in the tree view. And I always ask people, why is it that because that site starts with A, it should be at the top of the list and I have to look at it every single time I come here, right? I really don't care about it. The same is in general true with lists and search results. People always are always asking me to see everything. Like if there's a list of contacts, they always want to see everything. And I go, well, how come because, you know, Adam Anderson starts with A, it should always be at the top of the list and everybody should see it? The idea here is that what you want to do is basically just show the things that people care about, but give them a way to dig deeper into the data if what you're showing them initially is not right, right? So we're trying to follow that 80-20 rule. Okay, so I'm going to show you how we put all this stuff together so that you guys can take a crack at this yourselves. All right, let's jump back to the slides here for a second. And before we do all that, we just want to do a little bit of foundation work here to make sure that we all have the same terminology and understanding. So this slide right here just shows the search offerings that are available to us. The first one is SharePoint Foundation. How many folks in here are on Foundation, not Standard or Enterprise? How many folks are on Standard and Enterprise? Okay, great. So most people on Enterprise. That's excellent because that means you'll be able to do everything that we do in here today. So SharePoint Foundation, right? A lot of organizations like SharePoint Foundation because it's free, but it does a single site collection. It can't crawl external sources. You can spiff it up a little bit by adding the Search Server Express, which allows for the crawling of external sources and supporting federation. The two that that most of us will be on is either SharePoint Server or Fast Search. How many folks have Fast deployed? Just see a couple of hands. Okay. So SharePoint Server and Fast are really, if you're at the enterprise level, these are the ones that you're thinking about. SharePoint Server 2010, of course, true enterprise search with people, taxonomy, social, that type of stuff. And then Fast is really the highly scalable version of this whole thing. So SharePoint Server, you know, sort of comes with the product, right? And Fast is an extra SKU that you buy. I want to point out that everything we do in this in the demos today is being done on SharePoint Server Search Enterprise Edition, but most of the stuff that we're doing could be done in Fast, and in fact, Fast has a few extra capabilities that you could add as well. So these are some of the additional things you'd get in Fast beyond what we're talking about today. We saw the preview for Office Documents in the first slide that I was looking at. Metadata extraction is the idea of being able to look into a document and pull metadata out of it. Because believe it or not, when people upload documents into document libraries and you ask them to provide metadata, right, fill in the fields when they upload it, believe it or not, they don't always put in good information. I know that's hard to believe, but FAST allows you to extract that information from the document itself, and that gives you a better chance of having good metadata. Fast query language is like the keyword query language with some additional capabilities. Role-based ranking and refinement means that if I know who you are, I can do a better job of ranking the stuff that I show you. And then, of course, the scalability aspect. So again, everything we're going to do here today is SharePoint Server Search, but these are some of the additional things you'd get with Fast. This slide shows the architecture for SharePoint Server Search, and there's a couple of key things here that are really important to understand as you think about how search works. I, in my mind, sort of divide this diagram in half. So the first half is how you crawl data and build up the index, and the second is how you do the search. So starting over on the left where you have content sources, you know, these are the things that we want to crawl, like SharePoint sites or databases or other websites, document repositories. And if you think about a search engine that's doing a crawl and building up an index that you're going to work against, it needs to do two things in order to successfully build up that index. It has to access the repository where the information resides, and it has to look at the individual things that are in there. So it has to gain access to your document management system, and it has to be able to look through the documents, right? Those are the two things you got to do. So we accomplish that using iFilters and connectors. Connectors gain us access to the system we want to crawl. iFilters let us crawl the things that we find there. So out of the box, we get a lot of this stuff for free. That's why we can crawl SharePoint sites with really not much configuration on our part. And the index engine uses the connectors and the iFilters to build up an index. Now, the entire search application is part of the a la carte service model inside of SharePoint 2010. And so we have a search service application, sometimes called the SSA, search service application, which is represented by my yellow box in this slide here. And inside the search service application, we have the index files that get created through the crawl, as well as three databases, the search service database, managed properties database, and the crawl database. Probably the most important thing to understand about the configuration of search and then using it to do more than you get out of the box is crawled and managed properties. What happens when the index runs against a content source is it finds information in that content source. So if it crawls a document, it finds a created by date, it finds an author date, right? If it crawls a database, it finds a first name and a last name for a customer, whatever it is, right? And then when it finds those fields of data, it creates in the index what are called crawled properties. So it'll build a crawled property for every new thing it finds. Author, modified by, created by, whatever the heck it is, right? The problem is that when you're crawling multiple content sources, one content source could have a field called first name, and the other could have one called fname, and a third one could be first underscore name, and it goes on and on and on. But the reality is, to the end user, those are all first names. So what we do then is we create what are called managed properties. And a managed property is created by you, and it rolls up one or more crawled property into a managed property so that you can actually perform a search. And then once you have that managed property defined, you can use it in the search interface. So if you define something called first name, you can go first name equals Scott. And it will search all the crawled properties that are mapped to it looking for Scott and bring you back results based on that. Okay? That little piece of knowledge is really critical to making search work well, and I find a lot of folks still don't understand the importance there. You're going to see how we put that into action here shortly. Once you have the index file created, you've got your crawled properties, you've got your managed properties, then you can begin to run searches against it, as I said. And that's the job of the search engine. And then you can see the purple here, we have the search API, which is simply the code interface into the search engine, which we'll use in our custom solutions here in a moment. We have Search Center all the way on the right-hand side of the slide there, which is where you would go in and type your little keywords or what have you and do a search right from SharePoint. We can, of course, do custom solutions, as I said, and we'll see those as we go. And then there's an administration interface inside of Central Admin. So the takeaway here is really that you've got search divided into two halves. One is the crawling, one is the querying. Most important thing for you to understand is the relationship between crawling and querying primarily rests in the relationship between crawled properties and managed properties. We get the crawled properties because the content source was crawled. We have to create the managed properties ourselves. Very important distinction there. Okay, so with that understanding then, let's move on to talk about keyword query syntax. So keyword query syntax, as I said when we got started here, is if you are not a person who writes code, if you never write a line of code based on the code that I show you in this session, if you left with nothing except a better understanding of keyword query syntax, you would have achieved a lot, in my humble opinion, because a lot of problems around SharePoint and perception are related to crawled properties, managed properties, and keyword query syntax. So the way that keyword query syntax works is it uses managed properties. So you can use any of the managed properties in a keyword query. And again, as I said, you're going to create your own managed properties from crawled properties. You get a bunch of them out of the box, stuff that you would expect. But there's many cases in which you want to create your own. And it's remarkably easy to do. There are some of these that I refer to as must-know properties that are out-of-the-box ones. So these are some of my favorites. IsDocument is a managed property that you get out of the box. And IsDocument can be either a 0 or a 1, and it will filter out your search results to return only documents, right? So if you just went, if the end user's having trouble finding a Word document, you know, and they say, well, you know, I know that Scott wrote it, so I keep typing Scott, but I keep getting back the link to Scott's My Site, right? And it's just, I'm not getting this document. Well, if you go in there and you go Scott space is document colon one, you're immediately going to filter out everything that is not a document, and you're going to get just documents back. Another really important one that we're going to use an awful lot in this session is content class. This is perhaps the most powerful one there is. Content class lets you, in your keyword query, specify exactly what it is you're looking for. What type of thing am I looking for? So, for example, you can see there, STS underscore site says, I am looking for site collections and only site collections. I don't want documents. I don't want list items. I don't want calendar entries. I just want links to site collections. So if you go content class equals STS site, you're going to get back all the site collections in the farm. It's that simple. STS web says, I want team sites, not site collections, but actually sites underneath that. STS list tells me I'm looking for lists, list items, items in a list, right? And then you can also do list by type, so you can ask for specific things like tasks or events. And you might be beginning to see now exactly how I built out some of the things I was showing you earlier. It's really just a matter of asking very specifically for what you want. So Content Class is extremely powerful, letting you really narrow down what you want. Now, you know, I always think when I show this slide that it would be perfect, right, if you could teach all your end users how to use Content Class. But if you look at the stuff there, it's a little cryptic, right? So is my end user really going to do Content Class equals STS underscore list item? Some, but probably not a lot, right? So I'm going to show you some techniques where we can make their life a lot easier and do this for them under the covers. All right, so let's switch over and do a little bit of keyword query syntax. Okay, so another cool thing about search is that search is all URL accessible, URL accessible. In other words, I can create a URL that contains the keyword query I want to run and refers to the search center where I want to show the results. And through a simple link or a URL, I can run a query. And I have a bunch of them here to just show you some basic stuff you might care about. So let's do tasks, because we start with that one down here. So here I have tasks open. I'm going to go ahead and click on this link here, which will take me to Search Center. And this is not one that I've tuned up. This is just kind of a regular Search Center. But you can see here that I have returned just a bunch of tasks. There isn't anything in here but a bunch of tasks. And what I'm going to do is come up here and let's just copy out the keyword query syntax. And we'll get rid of this stuff now. And I'll go ahead and put this in here so we can sort of compare what's going on. Okay, so you can see that what I've done is I've said content class is STS underscore list item underscore task, and assigned to is wingtip administrator. So what does this query do? It brings back all the tasks across the entire farm that are assigned to the administrator. Now, if you've ever been involved in one of these things where some, you know, high-level executive in your organization says, you know, realizes, hey, I need to be able to look at all of my tasks, or I want to look at my subordinates' tasks, and then you hire some contractor like me who goes, yeah, that'll take me like 6 months to do, and it's like $250 an hour because I'm really busy, right? And you spend $80,000 doing it, and then I walk into your search center and type that. Search is really powerful. Just brings it right back. Now, I want to show this to you, too. I'm going to go up here, and I want to copy out this URL. And I'm just going to splat this in here so we can all see it. So let me break this up just a little bit so we can see it a little better. So the top part of this, you see I'm referencing the results page within the Search Center. Everybody see that in the URL? And then I have K equals, and the K is the keyword query syntax that you would like to run, followed by that exact keyword query syntax that I just showed you. So let's pause and think about this for a minute. So you can now solve that executive's problem by dropping a simple links list into SharePoint, and that's the URL, and you just put, you know, Bob's tasks as the link, and they click that, and their tasks show up. It's that ridiculously simple. Okay? Now let's take a look at some of the other ones we can do. Let's do documents, because people love to look for documents, right? So here's one that shows all the Word documents authored by somebody. So we're going to go ahead and click on this. And the first thing I want you to note about the results here is that I've got Word documents. Clearly I have Word documents. There aren't anything but Word documents inside of here. We're going to go ahead and pull out the keyword query syntax and bring that up here so we can see it. What did I do? Content class is STS underscore list item underscore document library. I only want to look in document libraries, very common. And the author is wingtip administrator. And here's a beauty, file extension is docx, which now is only going to pull back words for me. Now, every one of these in here, everything that you see in that keyword query syntax is out of the box. That's all out of the box stuff. You don't need anything special to do that. You can go back to your place Monday and write that exact query. Now imagine if your end users knew how to do that, right? Because what they do, we all know when they run search, right? And end users can kind of be forgiven for this because, you know, we don't really train them when we drop SharePoint in there. We just put a SharePoint out there and go, yeah, we'll do some kind of lunch and learn or something and leave them on their own, right? But when an end user runs a search, what they do is they go to the search center and they kind of sort of remember some word that they think is in the document, and they type that in the keyword, and then they hit search, and they get angry because the document in their mind isn't the top three, right? And then they go, SharePoint search, fill in the blank with your negative connotation of SharePoint search, right? Okay, more stuff that's cool here. All basically out-of-the-box stuff that you can do. Let's do people, because we look for people a lot, right? So here's a really simple one. This one is just last name colon C. This brings me back everybody in the organization whose last name starts with C. So another really, really common request that I get is for this phone book thing. See, your head's nodding, right? The phone book. Because we are creatures of paradigm. So I had this phone book when I first started out in 1986 that was listed A through Z. And the way I would do it was I put my finger on B and flip open the book, and there everybody would be. Don't we have something like that for SharePoint? Well, now you could take a set of links, right? Just a regular list links, and do last name A, last name B, last name C, last name D, and you will have created a phone book in minutes. Right? It's super simple to make these solutions. No code at all required. And now all of a sudden you've given everybody that phone book that they asked for. And I can't tell you how many times I get asked for that. Right? And I'm like, yeah, sure, right? I can do that for you. And take some time. All right, so that's another cool one. Let's see what else we got up here. So we did some people, tasks. Now here's the stuff that I think really gets cool, which is the navigation stuff, right? So we can come in here and we can say content class is STS site, and I click on that, and when I do, this simple thing brings back to me all the site collections in the farm. I just solved your cross-site collection navigation problem. And then what you can do with this is you can do really cool stuff, like we can come in here, and if I go to this little demo right here, I use that exact query to populate a bunch of drop-down list here that shows me all the site collections in the farm. And then I can come in here, and we'll just, since we're looking at Ford, we'll go ahead and click on Ford. I can click on that, and then it just navigates you there. That solves your cross-site collection problem right there, right? It knows where all the site collections are. Just ask it politely, and it will tell you exactly where they are. All right, I'll show you a little bit more of that code in a little bit here. All right, let's see. So that's navigation stuff. We also have the webs as well, just the sites. So we did people, we did tasks, we did documents. Calendars are also kind of interesting. Here's a query that shows all events for the 1st of January 2011. So you can see I just have one event here, the week in review. Okay, so that's interesting. And you can even do pretty specific stuff, like here's a pretty interesting query that shows birthdays. So I click on this thing. And apparently, it's my mother-in-law's birthday, so her house, right? So we can come in here, and we ask now for list items that were events that had the keyword birthday in them. See that? All these things, no code required to make them happen. So as I said, if you really got nothing else out of this session except better understanding of the keyword query syntax, then I think you would have done pretty well. You can see how much you could do with a simple links list and some good KQL. All right, but we want to go even farther. So now what we're going to do is we're going to start to wade into the world of writing our own code. So when we think about the Search Center in SharePoint 2010, there's a whole bunch of search web parts. This slide is just listing all the different web parts that are involved in search. And one of the cool things about 2010 now is that we can actually override some of these web parts and create our own solutions that are deployable just like any of these web parts, but we've changed the behavior of the web parts. And the one that we're really going to focus on, the one that lets us do a lot of the magic, is the search core results. The search core results is the actual web part that runs the query for you and brings back the results for display. And because we're able to override that web part, we can get into the pipeline, the query pipeline, before the query is run. And we can get into the query pipeline after the query is run, and we can do a lot of very interesting things when we make that happen. When we modify the core results web part, if we narrow our focus to talking about the core results web part, the way that we're going to do it is we're going to inherit from the core results web part to make our own web part, and then we're going to override this method called getXPathNavigator. GetXPathNavigator. Now, if you first run into this, you might think, oh, this seems a little cryptic. What are we doing here? But actually, it's reasonably straightforward. The most important thing to understand about this method here and the way search results come back is that when a search is run in SharePoint Server Search, the results come back as an XML document. That XML document is available to you when you override this web part, and then you can do all kinds of interesting things to it before you give it back to the search center. And whatever you do to it, when you give it back to the search center just behaves as if that's what came from the engine. It doesn't care. You could eliminate everything that's in there. You could replace every entry, you know, with your own information. You could merge it with another source. It doesn't care. Whatever comes back, as long as it's a properly formatted XML document in the form that it expects, it will treat those as the search results. So that's pretty cool. The other thing that you can do here is shown on this first line where you see query manager equals shared query manager dot get instance. See that line of code? That line, the query manager, allows the query manager is what is coordinating the querying that's happening with the engine. But one of the reasons that we care about it is if you look down where it says get in the pipeline before the query is run, you can see query manager dot user query. Query manager dot user query right there. See that? That user query property of the query manager gives you the query that was entered in the search center before the query engine executes it. Very powerful. Now I know what you typed into the search engine, and I can tweak it, change it, and then send it on its way. And then I can get into the pipeline after the query is run down here by getting those XML results myself, and I can do whatever I want to them. So I could sort them by date if I want, for example. Things that the engine doesn't really do, like sort by, sort by author or modified date or whatever it is you want. Some of these we do get out of the box, others not, but you get the idea. All right? So this is where a lot of the magic is going to happen. So let's take a look at that. Okay, back over here now. All right, so what we're going to do now is we're going to jump into Visual Studio, where I have a solution here that has a lot of the parts that that I've been demoing to you, and I'm going to begin to show you how we created this interface. Now, the first thing I want to do is let's just narrow our focus here to this idea of finding all the tasks in SharePoint that are assigned to you, okay? So here I have a web part called the Assign to Me Results. And let's go ahead and open this one up. We're going to look at this one in some detail to make sure that we understand the technique that's being employed here. Okay, so the first thing is I'm making a web part. That's what I'm doing. I'm making my own custom web part, one of the most straightforward things you can do as a SharePoint developer. But I'm not going to inherit from the web part class, which would be the normal thing I do. I'm going to instead inherit from the core results web part, which means that I have all the functionality to run a query against the search engine. That's what this does. Okay? And then, as I said, we're going to override, we're going to override the getXPathNavigator method of that core result web part. Now we come down here and we say query manager equals shared query manager. This line of code returns to me the query manager object, which is the conductor that is orchestrating all the querying that's happening inside of the search center. And the reason I'm doing that is because I want to get the user query that was just entered. Now I've got what you have put in here, and now I do a little bit of magic. Let's take a look at this switch case right here. What I do is I look at what you have entered, and I look to see if you have entered all, overdue, today, and then there's a default case. Now, I'm going to pause just for a second and make sure that we really let this sink in. So when I showed you the keyword query syntax stuff that you could do out of the box without writing any code, I said, you know, this stuff is really powerful. And in a perfect world, all your end users would know how to use Content Class, and they would just write that query that would bring back five documents, and they'd go, there's the thing I want. It's right in front of me. And nothing stops them from doing that, except they're never going to learn keyword query syntax, right? It's not going to happen. I mean, somebody somewhere will learn it, and they'll get good at it, but the general user isn't going to do that. So what we need to do is give them a way to basically ask the same question without having to remember stuff like content, classes, STS underscore list item. So what you're looking at here is me creating my very own keyword query syntax. Let that sink in for a second. You can go to Search Center and you can type all, and I will construct a query for you that returns all your tasks. You can type overdue, and I will construct a query for you that returns all your overdue tasks. Now you're getting something very powerful, because end users can learn these type of simple commands that we basically grab onto and create much more sophisticated commands. Like, check out this overdue. I'm using the assign to keyword query and the due date managed properties here to construct the overdue. So let me show you that in action so we can really drive it home. If I come back to our FordNet here, let's just go to a regular search center. Here's a regular search center inside of FordNet. So what happens is if I go to a search results place, right? So if I type all in here, right, this is just going to use the regular search results, which is just going to get me hits on the keyword all. And you can see I've just got a bunch of, you know, stuff in here. Now, if we come into this search results page and we say edit the page, and we scroll down a little bit, you will see the search core results web part. So putting the page in edit mode lets you see all the web parts. That's the out-of-the-box one. You with me on that? So what we do is we make our own web part, we delete theirs, and we drop ours on the page. And then when we do, we can now create our own results page. So that's where we have my assignments right here. And so now we can come in here and we can type overdue like that and click search, and it brings back the overdue. Now, I think your end users could do that, right? That's a pretty easy thing to do. So now you stop and you think about it and you go, wow, all this power of the keyword query syntax, I could roll into a single command that somebody could type in there, and then I'd be able to bring things back for them. Okay? So this is how you create, you know, a search-driven application that people really want to use and brings them back things in a way that they can actually operate on them. That's pretty powerful stuff, in my opinion. I think that would go a long way to making people think, you know, much better things about the way that SharePoint Search is working for them. Okay, so that is the assign to. So what did we learn from that? In the assign to, what we learned was how to override, right? How to inherit, how to override, and then we engaged in this pattern of creating our own keyword query syntax that people could use. So that's pretty cool. Okay, now let's look at the events. So another one that we did was we took a look at events, and we said, hey, go around and find events that are of interest to me. And you can see here we followed the same kind of pattern where we're making our own keyword query syntax by asking questions like, what's going on today? What's going on this week? What's going on this month? And you can see throughout the code where I'm just building up pretty complex keyword query syntax, all based on you typing in something like month. Okay? But here we go a little bit farther. So the first technique, by making your own keyword query syntax, you're in the query pipeline before the query is run. You with me on that? You're intercepting what somebody wrote and modifying it for them. Now, the second technique is to get into the pipeline after the query is run so that you can tweak the results. Because when you're trying to display things to people, like the tasks that are assigned to them, for example, they would prefer to see those tasks sorted by due date. That makes sense, right? I want to see or maybe by priority. I want to see the most important up top, something like that. If you just let SharePoint Search sort them, how does it sort them for you? The answer is by relevance. So inside of the SharePoint search engine, it does some magic, right? And it goes, oh, based on this magic I'm doing here, I think this is more important than this, right? And then it brings them back to you, right? And this is often frustrating to people. The simple example is if you go to my phone book example, right, the A through Z phone book example, how come they're not sorted alphabetically? Because it's search. It doesn't sort alphabetically. It sorts by relevance, right? So if you type Cox, it's going to hopefully bring you back Brian Cox as the top guy, right? So there's a lot of frustration involved there about sometimes about how search results come back. And when you're trying to do these very specific search-based applications like tasks or events, you may want to force a sort on the results. And I can do that, which is exactly what happens down here. So now I want to get into the pipeline after the query is run. And that's what this line of code does right here, querymanager.getResults. What that does for me is it gives me back the XML document that contains the results of that query, sorted by relevance. So now I'm holding on to this document that's sorted by relevance, but I can do whatever I want to. So basically what I do is I rearrange the order here and I sort them by date. See how that works? So a little, you know, little link magic there to do a link query against the XML document. By the way, if you're writing code and you're not heavy on link, if that's not something that you do a lot of work with, put it on your list all the way at the top. Link is really powerful. Just a few lines of code here, and basically I'm reordering the entire XML document. And then I said, as long as you return a valid XML document, the entire search center will treat that as what came back from the results. So all you have to do is exit this method returning a navigator through the XML document that you just reordered, and then all the search results will now be sorted as you want. So now we forced a sort on the search. So we could do A through Z sorting if we wanted. We could sort by the modified date. Whatever the heck it is that we want, we could use this technique to do it, right? So very powerful getting into the query pipeline before the query is run, intercept what they've typed, modify it. Get in after the query is run, take the resulting XML, do whatever you want to it, and send it back out. Okay, so that's a couple of good examples. Now let's take a deeper look at site collection navigation. So all that's pretty cool, and I'm hoping that where you are with me is you get now how we did assignments, how we did events, how we did, there's a question over here. The question is what happens with pagination? The one negative of this approach with the sort is that you will break the pagination. And the reason why, I can't go sideways too much here just in the interest of time, but the reason why I suspect you already understand, which is the relevance returns a certain set of results to you on page number one, and then you're resorting them, okay? So I'm just going to say this, and then if you want to have more discussion, you have to buy me beer to do it, okay? So I have to control myself because I could rant about this for the next hour. But see, this goes to that whole idea of seeing everything. I'm going to be really bold, and I'm going to say pagination is a bad thing. There you go. Usually people throw stuff at me like, what do you mean? Pagination allows me to show everything. I want to see everything, right? When you go to Google and you type something and you get 5,000 pages. Oh, I'm sorry. When you go to Bing and you type something and you get 5,000 pages. You click on two to see what's on page two? Maybe. Depending upon your current state of frustration, you might click on page two, right? But for the most part, you don't. You retype something else. So pagination isn't used anyway. So I solve that problem by going, you've returned more than 50, which is what you're going to be limited to. The core results web part will return 50 no more. And honestly, if I give you 50 things, that's a lot to look at. It's probably more than it reasonable anyway. And then I go, you need to narrow your search. Okay? So that's how I handle that sorting problem. But you're right. That's a drawback in this technique is that you'll goof it up because you're changing the relevance to something else. All right, good question, though. All right, so Now what we want to do is let's move on to talk a little bit about the site collection stuff here. And I want to show you the technique that we've used to replace the navigation system. So hopefully, as I said, everybody's okay with the search-based applications we've created so far that are focused on things like events and tasks. Now let's talk about navigation. So in order to do the navigation, I said that what was important here was we needed to have properties for our sites. In fact, properties for your sites is something that comes up quite a bit and is a really handy thing to have inside of SharePoint. And so the way that we did this was we created a system that allows us to put meta tags inside of the web page that search can crawl. Let me show you how this works in action, and then we'll get as deep as we can in the code. Okay, so if I come here to just the home page here, and I right-click on this, and we say View Source, okay? I'm going to scroll down a little bit here, and when I do, I want to draw your attention to this block right here, which has a bunch of meta tags in it. You see it? Meta, division, meta, unit, meta, initiative. Meta sponsor is Brian Cox. You see that? This is how we're giving a site properties. Now, when you have meta tags in your page like this, when the crawler runs, it will make crawled properties out of the meta tags. And then you can make managed properties that call those. And you can now do very sophisticated searches for sites based on anything you want. All right, so how do we do this? Well, basically what we did was we created an interface. So let me go here to a link. We'll just go to the operations site. And here on the operations site, I'm going to go to the site actions menu. We're going to scroll down here to the site actions menu. And here on the site administration, you'll see a new link. This is not out of the box. So if you've been kind of sleeping through most of this, this is the part we want to wake up. You will not find this in your SharePoint site. This is a feature that I wrote that allows you to manage site metadata. When I come here, it lists a bunch of properties. These are completely arbitrary, right? These are things we decided we needed. And then it allows you to classify the site. So, for example, we can say, what is the template that was in use here, team site? What is the type? We have these different types. They can be a division, an office, a program unit, or a unit. Okay, those are the proper values for that. Then we have people pickers for who's the sponsor, who's the content owner, right? Who was it created by? Because as you guys know, right, when you're doing things in SharePoint, often it's IT administrators and other people that are actually creating things, but you're not really the creator or the sponsor or anything else. You're just a proxy. So we have the ability to pick those values. An audit date that we specify here, and then this, which I think is a really neat property, should this be included in the navigation? And if it's not checked, the search will kick it out. In other words, we can sort of hide it from the navigation. I don't want this to ever appear, to ever be searchable, you know, so we'll knock it out. So it has to be included in the overall navigation. All right, now once you have this then, you can do really interesting things. Like you can come to the search center, and let's see if we can do this. You can come to the search center, and you can say meta site type is equal to division. All right, let's see if I got that right. Let's go ahead and run that. And when I do, look what comes back. I get operations back as a site that is division. Okay. Now, I'm getting other stuff in here too, but these are all from the same sites that are designated as division. How could I get rid of those and only have the site? Content class, right? So if I further come in here and I say content class equals STS web, I think this is a subsite, right? Hopefully this will bring back just the one thing. Oh, look at that, one and only one site. So what did I just find? I just found something that was important to us where the site type was a division site type. See that? Now you can imagine that you could find your sites using whatever's important to your organization in exactly the same way. And now all of a sudden, the need to have a giant tree view control with every single site on it sort of fades away. Because I can do really interesting things with this, right? I can do, how about this? Here's some, I did some prototypes and other things that are sort of interesting to look at. Like, here's a solution I presented to one customer that offered a complete replacement for the left-hand navigation using this idea, so that you could come in here, for example, and you could say, you know, division, and you could run a search, and then it would build up a left-hand, of course, not going to be anything there. Let's try, we'll go back to BCS. I know there's some stuff there on BCS. So you type in a keyword, right, and you do a search, and it brings back the site collections under portal and the sites under that. And it kind of looks like a little navigation system over there, right? Now stop and think about this for a second. If your SharePoint farm just has a couple of sites in it, then you don't probably care what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about 80,000 person organizations with worldwide employees that have tens of thousands of SharePoint sites. How on earth do you build a navigation system to support that? The answer is you can't. All right, and that's really where a lot of this thinking came from, is there had to be a better way. I actually sat, I'm not kidding, I sat in a review with a worldwide organization, you know, one of these 80,000 person companies, where their team invented a cross-site navigation system for SharePoint that they intended to roll out worldwide. The person giving the demo was the administrator, farm administrator, so they had access to everything. Went, you know, fly out, and 10,000 sites came up in the second flyout. And there was a scroll bar that you could grab in the flyout, and you could scroll down till you found the site. Really? Are you really going to do that? Are you really going to do that? Right? So there's got to be a better way of looking through all these, and the answer really is search, right? So here's an example here. And then I'll show you another example of this stuff in action here, which is let's go to, I did a central admin version of this, right? So now imagine you've got tens of thousands of sites. There's going to be all kinds of questions, right? Because we rely on the site owners to set their metadata. So you might have questions like, which sites don't have their metadata set, right? That might be an audit thing I want to do. So inside of central admin, I have a search interface where basically you don't even need to know the keyword query syntax. You could just come up here and type whatever you want. We'll do something simple, just type operations for the title. And you can say, show me sites that match that. And you can see here that it found one site, so the operation site. And then it shows you the created by site sponsor, site template for that particular site. So you could actually run queries in here like, show me where the site type is null, because that's the value we use when it's not set. And you could say, here's all the sites where the site owner didn't do their job, that kind of stuff. And then we provide links either to the site itself or to the manage metadata page. So if you wanted to, you could go in here and set the properties on all the ones that aren't set or what have you. See how that works? So once you get this thing in place, it becomes a very powerful way to find sites inside of of something that has thousands and thousands of sites. Let's take a quick look at how some of this was done. Let's see here. Actually, probably just under. Yep, here we go. Just under this. Okay, so we have this project site collection navigation, which has the administration interface here, which is the one that was done in central admin. That's the central admin solution. And here's the site level one right here, where we set it at the site level. Okay, so if we just come in and we look at the code for setting these values. So this is me, I'm the site owner, and I want to set them. How are we doing this? Well, basically what we're doing is we're using the property bag for the site. So every SharePoint site has a property bag, and into that property bag you can put whatever values you want. You give it a name, you give it a value. So, you know, we have this system we're using where you can see meta_created_by, meta_created_date, right? And we're just using a class here, or a hash table right here. See the hash table to get all the properties, site.allProperties. And then into that hash table, we set the values. And then now what happens is those persist with the site. So each site has its own set of values within the property bag. And then what happens is you need a way for those properties to then be surfaced into the site itself as a meta tag. And the way that we do that is we use some code that generates that. And this code is set up to basically be part of the master page so that every single page has this in it. Getting there. There we go. Every single page has this in it. And you can see that basically what it does, if we go down here, is it generates meta tags. Okay? So we just sit inside the master page, and then every page that you request, we pump in the meta tags at the top of the page when you request it. So that's the only overhead we have, is to fill in those meta tags, these few lines of code that you see right here. And you can see how it's just jammed right in through response.write. It basically just writes it right into the stream. And then when the crawler runs, the search crawler runs, it acts just like a request. So these values go into the stream, and the crawler creates crawled properties out of these values. So if we come back to Central Admin, and we go to Service Applications, and we go to Search Service Application, then we come to Metadata Properties, and we click on Crawled Properties, we can now see all the crawled properties, and all I need to do is type in meta like that, and you'll see the properties that it crawled. See them all? That's all because they were in the page. And then what we did was we made managed properties over here. See how that works? And that means that you can now go to the search center and type meta division equals, equals operations or what have you, and you're going to get back all the stuff that's tagged as part of the operation division. See how that works? All right. So let's see, what else we want to do with that? Last thing we want to do with this is, if we go back to the Ford site, let's go here. So we basically use that technique now to come up with what we think you might want to see, but we've added one thing. You'll remember that the rub now is, now I have this ability to find any site I want using keyword query, but the question is, what query to create? And the answer is, we look at your user profile, as I said in the beginning, and we use information like what's your home office, what unit do you belong to, what division do you belong to decide what keyword query to create. And then the results of that search are what gets populated in this drop-down, which is the navigation. Does that make sense? So if we go back, I can show you that. That's buried in this project here called Dynamic Navigation. And actually, this is a piece of JavaScript. I'm going to give a shout-out to a CodePlex project called SP Services. Anybody use the CodePlex project SP Services? SP Services gives you a lovely JavaScript interface to a bunch of the SharePoint web services. That's what we're using here. So basically, let's see. We use the SP services, you'll see the code here, to get the current user and retrieve information from their user profile. This is all a JavaScript call against a web service. That's what we're doing. And so now I know that information about you. And then what we can do is come down here to this Build Foundation Links. And this is where the magic happens. You can see my business rules. If your profile office is New York, then here's the keyword query. Title equals profile division. So basically, we expect a site to have the same name as the division you belong to. So somebody created that site somewhere. Its meta site type is division. See that? And we're expecting that that's either going to be the root of a site collection or a team site. See how that works? So that is a pretty complicated keyword query syntax that you're doing. I think at this point everybody could be able to understand that. But the reality is that what it does is it just populates the dropdown with stuff we think you care about. And that's how it works. And then we have a pretty set of simple rules here that you'll see in the code that determine what we show to you. And as long as your user profile is accurate and searches, you know, healthy and crawled the system, this thing is going to work and show you exactly what it is we want you to see. Okay, so at this point then, what we've done is we've solved the problem of data aggregation, finding assignments, events, other things that are splattered throughout SharePoint and bringing them into one place and centralizing them. And we've solved the problem of cross-site collection navigation and the idea of having thousands of sites in our SharePoint site and our SharePoint farm and having a meaningful way to crawl those. The last thing that we have to do, wrap up here in our last 5 minutes, the last thing that we have to do then is talk about customizing Search Center. So we could go on and on about customizing Search Center. There's a lot of things you can do, but the bottom line is that what you're trying to do is that when you present the results, we said one of the things about a good search-based application is it should present results in a way that is appropriate for those results. So images are presented as images, so I can look at them. Videos are presented as videos, so I can play them. Assignments are presented to me with priority and due date so that that stuff is meaningful. And that's exactly what we have done inside of our results, right? If we come here and we look at my assignments, then, of course, they're presented as in a list view here, not the standard sort of, you know, links, piled up links that you get out of a, you know, a search engine. It's a tabular view, which is exactly how you would expect them. If we ask for events, then, of course, they're collapsible into the individual dates. If we ask for documents, then these documents come back in more of a traditional look and feel that are, you know, appropriate for documents. You get it, right? So you're going to want to change the way that things look. And so the simple answer to changing the way that these things look is to use XSLT. So what I said when we got started was that the results from a search come back into the core results web part as XML. And we already know that you can change the XML document, and changing the XML document will effectively change what Search Center thinks the results of the search are, and that's all well and good. Okay? But if we come into the core results web part, we can look at the display properties here, and we can go to the XSL editor. All right, so I love this, by the way. It's one of my favorite. Right? Here's the XSL editor. This is Microsoft XSL editor, which is a giant text box full of XML. Okay. What's that? Oh, what happened to my screen? What? You guys got to yell at me before we do that. That's funny. All right, so we're okay. You got to go, hey, dummy, screen. All right, so here's my XSL right here, right? So let's take a look at this again and make sure we have follow me to it. So I've put the page in edit mode, okay, gone down to my core results web part, and I have said edit the web part, which brings up the traditional properties for the web part. And inside of here, I show you the Microsoft XSL editor, which when clicked upon brings up a giant text box, and you can edit your XSL in here. Now, I don't know about you guys, but this is not something I want to get involved with, right? XSL is pretty tough to work on. So I'm going to give you, the last thing I'm going to give you is the easy trick for doing this. What you want to do is you'll come to that web part and you're going to add into it a special piece of XSLT, which is the no format XSLT. And I'm just going to go ahead and open that up here. What this XSLT does is it does nothing. And what the results will look like when you use this is an XML document. You can then copy the XML document directly out of the Search Center, save it as a .xml file. Then you go open the SharePoint Designer, and you import the XML into SharePoint Designer. It doesn't matter where because we're not going to keep it. And you use an XSLT web part, and you drop it on the page in the SharePoint Designer. And the beauty of that web part is it has a graphic interface for designing. So you add columns, remove columns, whatever, and behind the scenes, it writes the XSL for you. And when you're all done, you just copy it right out and stick it right back in the web part, and you get exactly what you created in the SharePoint Designer. Oh, what's that? You just add it to, I'm out of time or I'd show you, but basically in SharePoint Designer, after you upload the XML, you can add an XSLT web part right from the ribbon, and just drop it on the page, and it'll go, oh, what, you know, what XML source are we using? Or you can just drag the XML onto the page, and that'll do the same thing. And then a little UI comes up that lets you add columns and change the format. All the simple things that you saw in this demo use that technique to generate the tables and the collapsible sections and stuff like that. So you can get pretty far without writing your own XSL. Okay, so now I'm going to switch back here, and we're just going to wrap up. All right, so we did a little bit of a demo on that, and here we are with a summary coming in, right, with just a few seconds left. We talked about what search-driven applications are, a little bit of the architecture, keyword query syntax. Hope everybody took away how powerful that is. We talked about getting into the pipeline before the query is run and after the query is run. And finally, you touched a little bit on customizing the search center by using XSLT and SharePoint Designer to change the way the results appear. I am out of time, but I'll hang around here if you guys have questions. There is somebody after me, so I'll have to clean up. But if you have some questions, I'll hang around. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.